Have your Bible this morning. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We've kind of completed what we were doing. We're starting a new project today. Acts chapter 1. We'll read the first 8 verses. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he had, through the Holy Spirit, given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray. Father, your word is true. It always is true. There's no error in it. So everything you say to us applies to our life in one way or another. And so, Father, I pray that you'll bless this passage of scripture today to our lives. And Lord, you speak to our lives for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. When Vince Lombardi took over the football team, he didn't have much to work with. The team was pretty out of sync. They had lost a lot of games. They weren't overly enthusiastic. They didn't know him. But he came in with a purpose. And the first thing he said to the team, the Green Bay Packers, is he came in the locker room when the first meeting, he had a football in his hand. And he said, men, this is a football. Now, we get tickled about that. But he was trying to tell them the main thing is playing football. If you're going to be on the team professionally, it's not an easy free ride to make money. You're here to play football. So what is our main thing as a church? We know it's not to play football. Lord have mercy. I never get up. I got tackled today. What is our main thing? The disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had heard him teach and teach and teach. They had listened to him pray. They had been there when he was crucified, or around, close to it. They were there in the upper room when he showed up, walking through the door. I don't know, we read that and we don't get moved, but I'm telling you, that'd give me the heebie-jeebies that they'd be putting the back door in. Because that don't happen every day. It doesn't. They were there. They were there when Thomas was there. And he said, look, here's my nail scars. Here's this place in my side where they thrust the spear. Come and put your hand in it. They were there. He taught them many days after his resurrection about the kingdom of God. I am arrested. In other words, it gets my attention. When he's getting ready to ascend into heaven, and they're gathered together, they ask him this question. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? They have had that in mind all along for 3 years. This is not something new. They have waited and waited to have a kingdom like David and Solomon had, being leaders and rulers in the Middle East. Throw off Rome. Get rid of that nonsense. We don't owe them nothing. They're Gentile dogs. Get rid of them. Make us strong. Make us powerful. Give us positions in your administration. Remember, James and John wanted to sit on both sides of Jesus. They wanted to be high-ranking officials in his administration. He said, that's not for me to talk about. It's for the Father. He'll make that decision. What is the main thing? He tells them, verse 8, what the main thing is. It's never changed. He tells it in his Gospels in one form or another. Most of the time we go to Matthew, the Great Commission. You're to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything I have commanded. And I'll be with you to the end of the world. That's what you're to do. He says it another way right here. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and all of Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Even in the last part of his time with the disciples, Satan is pulling in the other direction. Or let's build a kingdom. That's not what Jesus said. You're not going to build a kingdom like you think. You're going to build a kingdom of God, but you're not going to build a kingdom for Israel to rule now. What is the main thing? Well, the main thing is the right message. You're going to be witnesses to Christ. What is the message? The gospel of Christ. He was born of a virgin. He came from heaven, planted in her womb. She gave birth in Bethlehem. Because God said that's where the child would come from, through the prophets. They had to make it to Bethlehem. A long journey, a hard journey. 9 months pregnant woman on a donkey. How many of you ladies vote to do that? She did it. She didn't know better. That was her life. But she did it. He was born, circumcised the eighth day, taken to the temple and dedicated to God according to the law of Moses. He lived a sinless life. At the age of 12, he's in the temple stupefying the theologians there, the theogs. They couldn't believe, what's this 12-year-old kid know so much? Well, he's God, that's why he knows so much. He lived, he did miracles, he healed, he did things nobody else could do but God. Nobody could do those things but God. He raised the dead. He called Lazarus out of the tomb after his body was starting to decay. And he gave him a new body that wasn't decaying and brought him out of the tomb. He's God. He died on a cross in our place. He is the atoning sacrifice for your sin and my sin. And nobody will go to heaven. Nobody will get forgiveness. Nobody will be in a right relationship with God other than through faith in Christ and repentance of sin. You've got to call on him. You've got to believe in him. You can't just go through the motions. You can't just give lip service to God. You don't want lip service. The whole world does that. He wants you to give your heart and life to him. He ascended into heaven, and he's coming again. This time not as a redeemer, but as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming in judgment. There's fire in his eyes. A two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. The message is the gospel of Christ. You and I don't have any other message. Now, we get pulled into doing a lot of things. We have a lot of activities in a church. And the bigger the church is, the more activities they have. I mean, they'll try all kinds of activities to get people's attention and to try to get them to come to church. And they'll tell them several things. They'll pat them on the back and make them feel good about themselves. But they never get the gospel message. And they could be in that church for 30 or 40 years, die and go to hell. What is the main thing? The right message. What is the main thing? The right method. The right method. There are churches that I know that have used different methods to try to get people into their church. One church I know, Houston, Texas, a pastor and his wife had a thing built on top of the church, built out of plexiglass, and they put their bed up there, and table and chairs and stuff, and they wanted to show everybody how true Christian people should live. Out of the way.
I'm thinking, are you nuts? Yeah, they got to be. Boy, they got a lot of attention. I mean, think about that. People are going to drive by just as curiosity, you know? I bet the police had to put out there on the street around Houston, they had to put people out there to direct traffic because there's so many people come by just looking. Rubbernecking, as we call it. I know churches that have professional wrestlers come in, and in the prelude to the church service, they wrestle on stage. I couldn't find that in the Bible. Maybe they got a different one than I got. I don't know. I couldn't find it. I know churches that have professional dance studios, ballet and swing and Texas two-step and all that stuff on stage before worship service. Now, I'm not against that wrestling. I am against on the roof, but I'm not against wrestling. And if that's what you like, that's okay. I'm not against people dancing. If that's what you want to do, that's your business. But don't bring it into church. You ain't never seen me mad. If you bring that into this church while I'm interim here, you see me mad. Don't bring it in. The method of building the kingdom of God and the method of growing the church is the message of Jesus Christ. He still changes lives. He transforms people. What's the main thing? Main thing's the muscle with which it's done. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And if you like it or not, you can be my witness. That's not what he said. You shall be my witness. To not be his witness is against the command of Christ. That's an imperative command. Now, the power he's talking about here is the word dynamite, from which we get our word dynamite. It's dunamo. Dynamite gets things done. It moves trees out of the ground. It in a quarry, when they drill and dynamite, it's amazing what happens. I mean, this big old pile of rocks becomes gravel all at once. Large chunks at times, but it gets blown up. What's he saying? You can't be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost part of the world in your own flesh and in your own strength and in your own power. It has to be in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. Said he'll come upon you. He'll guide you. He'll fill you. He'll empower you to share the gospel. Give your testimony. In Ephesians 5:18, he said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command. That's an imperative word. You don't get to vote on it. You got to do it. How do you get filled? You empty yourself of known sin. You empty yourself of the little things you want to do all the time for yourself. And say, Lord, fill me. Flow through me. Direct me. Guide me. The main thing is being a witness for Christ. Making disciples. That's the main thing. That's the task of the church. And if the church does not make disciples, and if it does not become a witness, then the church ultimately fails in its calling. We don't want to do that, do we? Many ways to witness. It's not just, you know, me walking up to Carolyn and sticking my finger out in her face and start pointing at her and say, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. That don't get it done. She's looking at me like, he's crazy. He's nuts. What's he doing that for? Just go up and maybe befriend her. Go up and talk to her. Find out some of her interests. And tie that into a life with Christ. Give her the gospel message. Eventually tell her, those who do not confess him do go to hell. And hell is real. Because Jesus said it was. And if he said it was real, it's real. Now there'll be people tell you he's not real, but they living in la-la land. He's real. It's not a football. But it is. You shall be my witnesses in your Jerusalem. That's where you live. In Judea, that's outside your house and community. In Samaria, that's that place where them people are that you don't want to mess with. Uttermost part of the world. You look at the disciples. They were in Jerusalem. They were in Judea. They were in Samaria. And they went to Gentiles in different parts of the world. But nobody traveled to the Gentiles like the Apostle Paul. He is called. He is anointed. He is filled with the Spirit of God as an apostle to the Gentiles. Well, he talked to Jews, but his main focus were Gentiles. I'm thankful. If he'd have went to Spain, I don't know what would have happened. You know, he didn't make it to Spain. He made it to Macedonia. That's to Europe, to England, and then to the United States. And look where we are. If it had went to Spain, we might be out there worshiping the tree or something. Who knows? I'm thankful for the gospel witness of those who have gone before me. Thankful for the gospel witness of those who've witnessed to people here. Somebody told you about Jesus. Somebody, you know who they are. You don't forget that. I went bike riding with a guy out of Kansas City. Bike riding is not bicycle, it's motorcycle, okay? Bike riding. Got a real thing, you know. And we go bike riding, and he carried in his pocket index cards. And we'd stop and get fuel. And while we're fueling up, you know, people see the bikes and they make comments and they talk to you around the pumps. And he'd be talking away, person, he'd pull this card out and start reading. He'd read through them cards. And a person would just stand there and look at him and listen. And he's given the gospel presentation of Jesus Christ. And he would get down to the end talking about how God changed his life. And he'd say, has that happened to you? And he'd look him in the eye. I don't know how many people prayed to receive Christ right there at the gas pump.
He didn't do anything fancy. He never looked them in the eye. He never told them stories. He just took those cards and read them, everything. Everybody's got a different method. Whatever God's given you and however He's equipped you, use it as the main thing to make disciples. Every head bowed. Father, thank You. Thank You for the truth of the Word. I thank You for those who've witnessed to me, those who've challenged me through the years, those who've talked to me and just worked on me. Father, You know who they are. Bless their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.